the idea of global warming. You know, why was global warming part of this series? Well, people have said that God didn't create the world. It just happened. And if it happened, then it's very possible that bad things could occur. No. If God created it, he would have created a world that could take care of things like this. But if it just happened by chance, then we are the ones who have to take care of this. Man can destroy the world. He can do things that will ruin our climate. So global warming, also known as climate change, is being promoted as a man-made event and is a threat to the very existence of this being a habitable planet. You know, if global warming is correct, if the Earth is going to keep getting warmer and warmer and warmer, then people say, well, man's not going to be able to exist on this. God created a place where we couldn't live. There are predictions of things like the ice caps melting and coastlines flooding and mass extinction of life being imminent. There are many people who promote this scenario. They're passionate in their belief. And anybody who doesn't agree with it is called a climate denier. The subject has become a political hot button for many as they demand immediate drastic changes to the very lives of all people worldwide and promote the propaganda in school, mainly the young people. If you look at the ones who are promoting this, who are pushing it, it's mainly younger people who have been taught that this is the way things are and haven't bothered to look at the facts. So what are the actual facts? What does the scientific data show? And how accurate are these predictions of dire climate change? Well, let's start with the very first question. Are the average global temperatures rising? And the answer is yes and no. Depends on how you look at it. For example, if you look at the data, over the last 15 years, satellite data, and there's two ways we get temperature readings. We can take temperature readings by satellite, which takes the reading over a large area from space and is considered the most accurate. And we can have land-based temperatures taken by thermometers in little boxes and machines placed at various places on the surface of the Earth. If we look at the satellite data over the last 15 years, which is the most accurate, there's no significant change. It's been the same. It's been warm in some spots, cold in others, and when you average it out, it all averages out to about the same. People say, well, look at all the 90-degree days now. Well, you remember back this spring? I remember my plants trying to come up, and it kept freezing. It wasn't supposed to freeze then. We're past the frost-free date, but we got three freezes. It's all averaging out. The temperatures tend to do that. If we look, however, at the land-based ones, the ones that are measured by thermometers on the surface of the Earth, and we go back to around 1880, then the answer is yes. The temperature has risen from 1880 up to the present, and it's going up a total of about 1.3 degrees Fahrenheit. The average temperature of the Earth. In fact, since the Little Ice Age, which occurred around 1700, the temperature trend has been up. Now, it has to be noted that when we look at these temperature trends, the ones that keep going up since 1880, that's when we started using thermometers in these land-based weather stations. And where do they put these weather stations? Where do they record the temperatures? Well, usually around airports, around cities, around places where there are buildings. Sometimes they're even put on top of buildings. Well, what's that going to do to the temperatures? You know, that's where the official temperatures are taken. But what does it do? Well, if you look at a chart, it tells you that when you're in the city, the temperature is always warmer than it is out in the country. Just because of what's called heat islands. The sun heats up the concrete, heats up the buildings give off the heat, and so the temperature rises around buildings. It can be several degrees warmer in the downtown area, say 92, where out in the rural farmland it's only 85. So what's the official temperature? Well, it depends on where they take it. I know we have temperature at my house, and it says one thing, and you turn on the radio, and the temperature yesterday was this. Well, it's completely different from what I got in my house, because it's measured in a different place. So you see, that's something that we have to understand about temperatures. We also need to understand that the global temperature has gone up and down in a regular pattern all throughout recorded history. As a matter of fact, there were at least twice in the past when the temperature is as warm as it was now, as it is now. One was at the time of Jesus. About 2,000 years ago, during what was called the Roman Warm Period, the temperatures were averaging about what they are now. And then they dropped. And then about 1,000 years ago, in what was called the Medieval Warm Period, they went back up to about where they are now. And then they dropped down to what was called the Little Ice Age around 1700. And then they've been going up again. So this is a regular pattern. It's not that unusual. As the data shows, but people don't want to think about that. They just look at what's going on right now instead of looking big picture. Seems to occur about every 1,000 years. It's what the pattern looks like. Now, in global warming, they say, well, what causes it? Well, it's caused by carbon dioxide in the air. And that is settled science. Well, whenever they tell you it's settled science, that means I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to hear any disagreement. It means I don't really have the proof, but don't argue with me. Just accept it. That's what settled science means, no matter who says it there. It's stated that when the pre-industrial age came about, that there wasn't that much in the atmosphere, but since 1950, and people have been burning fossil fuels, that the levels of carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, all of these things that are called greenhouse gases have gone up in our atmosphere, and that that caused the Earth to warm. Well, that's the claim. Is it true? What does the actual data show? Well, here's what the actual data shows. This is the data from 1992 up to about 2006, which is the closest I could find. And you see the carbon dioxide level has gone up. That's the black line on the top graph there. The carbon dioxide level has indeed risen, but what has the temperature done? Up and down and up and down, and even going down, it just doesn't match up. Carbon dioxide is increasing, but the temperature is not necessarily increasing. So we can't make the big jump that says more carbon dioxide means higher temperature. It just doesn't work. As a matter of fact, the bottom chart shows what the carbon dioxide level was at the time of the dinosaurs. Now, at the time of the dinosaurs, if we look at this picture here, here's the carbon dioxide level, the black line here. It was up as high as 7,000 parts per million. How much is it today? 408. Wow, that's a whole lot more in the time of the dinosaurs. And then the carbon dioxide level started dropping and dropping and dropping and dropped all the way down to about 180. And then it went up to around 2,000, dropped again, and today it's at 408. So the carbon dioxide level has been a lot higher in the past than it is now. Carbon dioxide only makes up about 0.04% of our atmosphere. Most of the atmosphere is nitrogen, oxygen, and then a little bit of carbon dioxide, 0.04%. So where does it come from? You know, if this is supposed to be bad stuff, where does it come from? The carbon dioxide. Well, a lot of it comes from natural sources like volcanoes. It has been estimated that under the earth, in the earth's mantle, which is the melted rock just under the crust we live on, there are 100 trillion tons of carbon dioxide dissolved in the melted rock under the earth. 100 trillion tons. How many tons are actually in our atmosphere? 3.2 trillion. So there's 30 times more underground than there is out in our atmosphere. How does it get from underground out to the atmosphere? Well, every time a volcano erupts, it gives off carbon dioxide, massive amounts of it. There are also volcanoes that are called degassing volcanoes. They don't shoot out lava, they just shoot out gases. One of them is carbon dioxide. There are things called volcanic lakes where gases bubble up from underneath. One of those gases is carbon dioxide. There are places like this, for instance, Yellowstone, thermal hot springs, where those gases bubble out. One of them is carbon dioxide. And even the mid-ocean vents, they have found carbon dioxide bubbling up out of the crust. So it comes out of the earth naturally. Adds to what we have. There's 30 times more underground than we have in our air. So there's a lot of carbon dioxide around. When they look at the ice cores from Antarctica, drill down through the ice, take samples of the ice, examine it to see how much carbon dioxide is trapped in the ice, they can tell how much was in the air at various times in the past by examining the air trapped in the ice. And what they found is a chart like this. The blue line at the top there is the carbon dioxide level. What happened to the carbon dioxide level? Down, up, down, up, down. It just varies up and down all throughout the history of the ice core that they tested there. If we look at the data charts, 1,000 years ago, it was about here, around 300 or so. 1,000 years ago was the medieval warm period. Were they having an industrial revolution in the Middle Ages? No. So how did the carbon dioxide get up there? They weren't burning fossil fuels. They weren't running around in cars. They weren't flying jets. They weren't doing all the things we did. So where did it come from? Well, we can't say it's coming today from those things if it didn't come from there in the past. It just doesn't make sense, the claims that are being made. In fact, the scientific data shows that it's varied in a regular pattern in the past. So what about carbon dioxide? Is it really bad stuff? Do you remember in science class a picture of something like this? You breathe in oxygen, you breathe out carbon dioxide. The carbon dioxide is used by the plants in photosynthesis. The plants make oxygen, put it back in the air, you breathe in the oxygen. So you and plants are there to help each other. Every time you breathe out, you fertilize a plant.
Science priestly's experiments with the bell jar and the mince rig and the mouse.
Right. So you remember that. It's called the carbon dioxide-oxygen cycle. Photosynthesis in plants requires that you have a certain amount of carbon dioxide. You have to have at least 180 parts per million in order for a plant to grow. That's where the plant is required, 180 parts per million, in order to make it grow efficiently. Interesting thing is the amount of carbon dioxide increases, the plant grows better. And so as the level of carbon dioxide in the air goes up, the plants grow better and bigger and faster, and everything works better. If you have more carbon dioxide, you get increased photosynthesis, you get more weight in the plant, it increases the use of the water, it increases the low light tolerance. It just works much better. Here it is in chart form. As the carbon dioxide, the red line, goes up, the water use efficiency goes up. It doesn't take as much water when there's more carbon dioxide in the air. So more carbon dioxide seems to be a good thing for plants. As a matter of fact, a plant grows best at its maximum rate when the carbon dioxide is around 1,000 to maybe 1,200 parts per million. Now, we're only at 408. So the plants could grow a lot more than they were. Why were there such big plants back in the time of the dinosaurs? Carbon dioxide level was way up. We know that from ice cores and things. And so more carbon dioxide, the plants grow bigger. Everything grows more lush. So you see, carbon dioxide is not necessarily a bad thing. As a matter of fact, for humans, it doesn't get dangerous for us until the amount of carbon dioxide in the air is between 5 to 10,000 parts per million. So we have to get to at least 5,000 parts per million before it will start being dangerous for us. We've got 408. So we're a long way from being dangerous. Only one way that that can be concentrated now is by rebreathing the same air over and over again. The carbon dioxide level goes up and up and up in your body. And if you keep it on for extended periods, you know, people wear it for like 12-hour work days. They found that it's actually harming their health because of the increased carbon dioxide. So another thing to consider here. If we have more carbon dioxide, it makes the plants grow better. And here's an actual test sample. This was with 380 parts per million. That's close to what we have now. If we up it to 1,000, the plants grow much bigger. Up to a quarter bigger, produces more food. And if you have more people, what do you need on the earth? More food. So maybe God is allowing the earth to warm a little bit, more carbon dioxide in the air, so that we can feed the people that we have here on the earth. How about those predictive models? You know, everybody's seen the models of what the temperature is going to do. How accurate are they? Well, here's the predictive models. Three different ones that they've done. This first one, several companies, several different individuals have put out models. They've said the temperature is going to go up as much as a half a degree every 10 years. And so it's going to be up here. Another said, no, it's going to be up about a third of a degree here. Then 0.30 to even a simple model, not taking into account any special things, says that the temperature is going to go up, you know, 0.9 degrees every 10 years. And so it would be that. The bottom line is what we actually observe. It hadn't changed. It's just not happening the way that they predict. Here's another prediction. The red line, of course, the greatest temperature rise didn't happen. All these predictions, how can they all be so different? Well, because the factors that control the temperature on the earth are very complicated. We don't understand them all. We're not sure of everything that affects the temperature on the earth. For instance, the oceans. A warm ocean will release carbon dioxide into the air. A cold ocean will absorb carbon dioxide. Think of a bottle of pop. If it gets warm and you take the lid off, what happens? All the bubbles come out. Those bubbles are carbon dioxide. Same way in the ocean. It has dissolved carbon dioxide. If it gets warm, the carbon dioxide bubbles out. If the ocean is cold, the carbon dioxide is taken in and absorbed. The plants, the little plankton and microscopic plants that live in the ocean, absorb the carbon dioxide. They use it just like plants on the earth. They absorb it. They use photosynthesis. They turn it into a shell of carbonate. That carbonate then will sink to the bottom, and so the oceans actually help to remove carbon dioxide from the air by the plants that live there that use it up and eventually drop to the bottom. So these oceans have a lot to do with how much carbon dioxide is in the air and the temperature on the earth. And it's hard to predict. every few years we have ocean currents that change. You remember a few years ago they were talking about El Nino? Well, we're in the opposite now. Right now we are in a La Nina. The El Nino is when the water flows toward the United States around the equator current. Goes like this. The La Nina, which we have now, the water is flowing the opposite way. We don't know why it turns around. It just does. It'll flow one way for a while, and then the ocean currents will switch and flow the other way for a while. It's just a naturally occurring thing. Right now, this is what we are in. That's what we've been in for a couple years. Now we're in this. Notice what the predictions are for the Earth for our particular area here. Here's what happens during the one we're in now. The polar jet stream goes way up. The Pacific jet stream goes up. Everything is higher than normal. What does that do for us who live right here in Ohio? What does it say our weather should be? Wet and hot. Wet and warm. Is that what we got? Yep, wet and warm. Remember how wet it was this spring? Then we get to warm. They don't necessarily have to be at the same time. But what caused that? Well, the scientists would look at the data and they'd say, well, it's because we're in a La Nina. That's what's going on right now. That's what's causing this. Another thing that seems to affect our weather is the number of sunspots. Well, a sunspot is a magnetic storm on the Earth. They are huge, or on the sun, rather. They are huge. You see the size of the Earth here compared to one of these storms. So huge storms on the sun. Those magnetic storms will give off cosmic rays and all kinds of other solar particles. It seems that whether we get more or less cosmic rays affects the amount of clouds on the Earth. For instance, when there's a lot of cosmic rays and a lot of energy coming off the sun, it blows all of the things around the Earth. The Earth has a magnetic field that protects it. And so if there's a lot of solar activity, those things get blown right past us. But if the solar activity dies down, those things get attracted by the magnetic field of the Earth and pulled in. When there are sunspots, the sun is very active. And lots of sunspots means we have less cosmic rays that hit the Earth. They're blown right past. When the sun is not as active, when there are fewer sunspots, we get more cosmic rays that hit the Earth. Well, what does that do? Well, in the corner here, we have a little box that explains it as best we can. If there are fewer sunspots, that means there's less solar wind to blow the stuff past us. So we get more galactic cosmic rays hit the Earth. That makes more low-level clouds, which reflect more sun into space, and the Earth becomes cooler. So when there are less sunspots, the Earth naturally would tend to cool. When there are more sunspots, the Earth naturally would tend to become hotter. Well, where are we now? The sunspots occur in cycles. This is cycle number 22, cycle number 23. We are currently in cycle number 24. That's from the time they started counting them. And this is the prediction. The low spot, when there are the fewest sunspots, should be about 2021, 2022. So we're getting close to the lowest spot right now, which means the fewest sunspots, which means the Earth should be tending toward getting cooler. If that were the only thing affecting it. Yeah. But see, you see, we have all of these other things. We have the ocean currents. We have the warmer, cold ocean. We have the sunspot. All of these affect the Earth. So it's hard to say just one thing that affects it. And yet people try to simplify it. Just a couple other things. Here is a chart that shows how when the sunspots go up, the cosmic rays go down. And that's well documented. So we know it has something to do with it, but how much, we're not sure. Now, can we control the sun? No. Can we control the ocean currents? No. So there's so much that goes on in our world we can't control. And yet people act like we can. How about polar bears? You remember a few years ago when the polar bears were going to go extinct. And they showed the picture of the poor polar bear out on the ice, just drifting along. And he was just going to fall off and drown, and there wouldn't be any more polar. You know, in the last 40 years, the polar bear population has increased 300%. There's three times more polar bears today than there was 40 years ago. They're not going extinct. Just the opposite is happening. That's why you haven't heard that lately. It doesn't fit the scenario, so they sort of dropped that one. Sea level rise. All the oceans are going to rise and going to flood the coastlines, and all of those cities that are on the coast are going to be underwater. Al Gore wrote it in his book. Here's what Al Gore said. Al Gore said, by 2010, the sea level would have risen almost 40 inches. Well, what actually happened? From the time that his book came out, here's the actual data down here. That's how much the sea level has risen. Somebody's model didn't work. You see, because models are only as good as the information you put in, and if you don't put in the right information, then your model's not going to give you the correct answer. Matter of fact, it's now been downgraded officially to, it may rise by 1 foot by the year 2100, if nothing changes. And that if is always the thing that they have to add there. So what's the greatest risk to the world? Is it global warming? No, the greatest risk to the world is poverty. Not global warming. It's the lack of available energy that causes the poor to do the most environmental damage just trying to survive. So that's the biggest problem. Overzealous reaction has caused many problems in the past. There was a book that was written by a woman named Rachel Carson. The book was called Silent Spring. And we used to use a material called DDT to kill mosquitoes. It was very common, used everywhere in the world. And it worked great. It killed the mosquitoes. Mosquitoes carried malaria. And you know, we almost had malaria wiped out. Malaria was very rare. And then her book came out, which claimed that the birds ate the insects that had DDT in them, and it caused the birds' eggs to become fragile. And so the birds' eggs cracked, and we aren't going to have any little more birds. You know, the birds would just die off. Well, that didn't happen. All of the predictions that she made in her book have proven to be wrong. It didn't make the birds' eggs more fragile. It didn't do anything. But we stopped using and selling DDT. And what do you suppose happened to the disease malaria? Today, malaria kills over 1 million people a year again. And it was almost down to zero because somebody thought, oh, you know, it's a good idea, and didn't have all the facts. They just went on feelings instead of facts. We have to look at facts and not be stampeded by the crowd of those who refuse to see anything but their own agenda and use it to try to gain power over others. You know, the Bible tells us that God designed a world that would remain livable and functioning until he comes again. He said in Genesis 8, verse 22, as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. They're never going to cease. God designed a world that would take care of itself. Do we have to be good stewards of it? Of course. But do we have to stop living in order to preserve our planet? Do we have to look for another planet to move to? No. God designed things exactly the way that they should be designed. We're just don't understand how it all works. But you see, if you look at the facts and you see what's going on now, for instance, the kind of weather patterns that we're in right now, it's normal. That's what normally happens. But we have short memories. You know, we're only here for a few years. And so we think, well, during my lifetime, what's happened? Oh, the temperatures are going up, 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 so they're going to keep going up, up, up. No. It's always been that way. And we need to take the big picture view. God knows what he did when he created the world, and he did it in the perfect way. Tonight we offer the invitation. If there's anything in your life that has gotten out of line with God's will, if you need to have your sins washed away in baptism, if you need to rededicate part of your life that has become unsustainable,